Accession number 30655, Mr. Clive Sutton, Reel 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Sutton?
I was born in Islington at 38 Ferntown Road. That's F-E-R-N-T-O-W. In SN5. In 29th, 6th, 34.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background, what your parents did for a living, or you know, just give us a feel for the family?
Well, my father had his own business. He'd been in business with his father, a scale maker. There's a family split up, and he'd gone on his own, but he'd been mainly self-employed during the Depression days. He had a lorry. And then he took over as a works manager to a new company that was making baby furniture. And before the war, it wasn't very successful, so he and one of the other people in the firm bought it. The other chap was an American called Green, and when it looked like the clouds of war, etc., he sold out to my father and went to I went back. Now, it was not a lot of money that was passed in hands, I don't think, by today's standards. And because I know we weren't rich. We had our own house, and my dad had a car.
That was quite unusual, then.
My dad was the only one in the street to have a car. I think I've got a photograph somewhere, you know. Now, it's the Park 3 level. And,
You didn't have servants, though, did you?
No,
or did you?
No.
So how many in the family?
My mother worked as well with him. My brother, initially, he's my older brother. He's 5 years older than me. In 1944, my younger brother, Michael, was born. My older brother, Douglas, my younger brother, Michael. I've still got them. We're still somewhat friendly. We don't see a lot of each other. But my brother, I'd like to tell you about him later, my older brother.
Okay, well, now, so it sounds to me like a fairly comfortable background.
I was born by home by candlelight. Now, people wouldn't believe that, but what was happening, they were changing over from gas to electricity, and I was born in the middle of it, and the midwife was apparently beside herself, but apparently I was a lovely baby, so... But you know, we by no means, and this happened for a long time of my youth. We try to keep up appearances, but in actual fact, we were very, very hard up, because to run a business after the war was very, very difficult.
Now, what about the war? Can I just ask you, because you'd be only five, if that, five when the war started.
Yeah.
Do you have any memories of the war as a child?
I mean, were you back at starting?
Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, I can remember before the war, actually, in a minor way. But when the war started, just before the war started, my mother and father took us down to Biggleswade, where we've got family, and that's where basically on my mother's side they came from. No, my father's side. His mother and father both came from Biggleswade and Sandy. Anyway, we went down there, and I don't know what happened, because although we stayed a couple of days with one of the aunts, the great aunts, we were not billeted with them, so it obviously didn't work out. But my brother and I were billeted with an old couple in Biggleswade, Shortmead Street, which is actually the Great North Road there. Went right past the house.
And that was in August you went there, just before the war started, 3rd of September.
Oh, I couldn't give you a date, but it couldn't have been a very long before that. It may well have, you know, I don't know. While we were there...
Now, what was your accommodation like?
Very, very primitive. I always remember there was a rope up the windy little staircase. It was a cottage, really, but on the main road. It was a terrace cottage, had a but it was the end of terrace, and it had a nice little garden. And we used to work even playing in the street, because I nearly got knocked down one day because I was playing on the other side of the road, and I ran across the road the lorry just missed me. I fell down, it knocked me down, and but I was under. But I remember seeing the wheels going past my head. Anyway, while we were there, we went to my brother passed us, got a scholarship, and went to Owens. It was called our Owens School. Nowadays it's called Damanis Owens. And that was in Bedford. So we left Biggleswade, where we did have.
Now, how long had you been at Biggleswade then?
About a year.
Now, hang on a bit. So, how were you treated in your billet? How did you get on with these, the people you were living with?
Well, there was an old couple, and they had a lodger. The lodger was somewhat disabled, he couldn't walk very far. They treated us very well. But it was a primitive, poor household, but they were nice to us. My brother said we had to wash out in the yard, but I'm sure he's wrong there. But Bill Stanton was the lodger, and he used to spend time with me reading the stories. In fact, in my childhood, I had a few older people who did that. And
now, did you go to school there, at Biggleswade? Yeah. Do you remember that at all?
Rose Lane School. I'm not sure if my brother went for the same, but we were evacuees within the school, and we found a lot during our times that we were treated quite differently.
In what way?
Well, I think that's a bit later on.
Okay, not that school then.
I can't remember too much about that. But, do you want to...
Did you get homesick at first?
Do you know, I can't remember.
Oh, you're only there, it's a long time, you're
I'm
only five.
Sure we did, yeah. My brother probably did. But this is what I was going to say about my brother. He was 10 and I was 5. And he looked after me. And he you know, put old head on young shoulders. You know, he used to get my shoes repaired, protect me from billets that were a bit kind of hard, if you know what I mean. And until we got separated, which we did later on in our during the war. But I was evacuated all through the war.
Now, where did you go to next then?
we went to Bedford then.
That's in 1940?
Yeah. I'm not going to quote dates, but it must have been something like that.
And where did you go there?
In fact, I can in actual fact, verify some of this, because we've got the school book, which my brother's in now and then. So dates would be in there, if you wanted to confirm them. Sorry, give me the last one again. Overall, during the time we were evacuated, we must have had 7, 8, 9 minutes.
All in the Bedford area?
Yeah.
And what were they like?
Well,
generally, you know, mixed.
If I can put you in a situation, we went there after the war had started by a year, and the people who wanted to take evacuees were no longer there. So I think we were put into places because they could do that, couldn't they? So by and large, we weren't very happy. The first one we went to was a young couple, a married couple without children, and they were superb. They were lovely. And I can remember them clearly. I used to go out with the man with the bakers round. But he was called up, and he went and he was captured in Singapore later. And because the wife was on her own, her mother-in-law said that she shouldn't have the children. So although she wanted us to stay, my brother said, we were moved on. Do you want my next billet? My next billet, I think, was Miss Everett, I think. I've got to be a bit careful that I can't remember which is
the right one. All right, I understand.
And they were, I think they were both single, and there was my brother and myself and 3 other boys evacuated there. And then they took 2 young policemen. I think they were wartime policemen. And all the time I was there, I never had an egg. We were allowed an egg a week or an egg a month or something, but I think the policemen had ours. And they were so okay, you know. I can't remember if they were. There were a lot of boys there, so we were. We made our own. You know, we were friendly. Am I doing it again? Do you want the next bullet? We went. Then I stayed with two maiden ladies. One had been a prison officer, and the other had been a teacher. And they so mollycoddled us, you wouldn't believe. And one day I had porridge for breakfast with treacle, and they wouldn't, and I just couldn't eat it. I just didn't like it. So I went to school, and I came back, actually being a good boy with a little cutout cardboard thing to show them, you know. And they looked at it and said, "Oh, very nice." And there was my porridge at lunchtime waiting to be eaten. And I still wouldn't eat it. I've never eaten porridge since. But they put me to bed for the afternoon. And but they were okay. Miss Vincent, the teacher, that was the 1 year of my life when I seemed to catch everything. So, and what with them being ultra fussy. And she spent a lot of time reading things and talking about things. And I mean, I could read pretty well at five, you know. And I put it all down, you know, so that always helped. And so I've got really kind of quite fond memories of them, but they just weren't used to children, I think. And I think it's we did move somewhere else, but do you know, I'm very hazy.
That's all right. It gives us a feel of it. Yeah. What well, about you?
Can I tell you one more? Now this is one. This is a real story about being billeted. We were billeted with a family, a council estate. There was a boy about my age, a little bit bigger, and we got on well enough after he proved he could fight me. But they had a child that was disabled, and poor thing, you know, it was, and that was, and the man, I don't think it could have been not all that well, and he worried about things, but he was a very harsh man. And his son and I both went down to the river where we used to have to get bags of rabbit food at night, every evening, but we were playing at the last moment, we went mad, filling up these bags, two each, shopping bags. And when we didn't realise how late it got, and when we got back, he's coming down the road for us. Anyway, we shot past him, one on each side of him, into the house. And when he got in there, come his belt, and he thrashed us. Both. My brother tried to stop him, and he was picked up and thrown across the room and hit the wall. And that's how it was. My brother told my dad, and he came down, and we moved. That's when we went to the Everett's, actually, I think there was. Anyways, we went, and I had two or three other billets after that. And I don't really know why. I was always a fairly quiet to read a lot, you know. But I think it was more circumstances than anything. You know.
Now, what about school in Bedford? They're all in the Bedford area, these. Yeah. Billets, yeah.
I went to, first of all the evacuees went, and I went there, were in I think it was St John's Church, and it was the hall attached to it. And we used to go, and we all, be like a Victorian school, you know, classes all the way around the hall. And we were there for a few months, and I don't know how long, really. And then we went to, I should know this name. The name will come later. I don't know if that's possible.
Don't worry. Carry on.
Because I went. And it was just normal school. And
how did you do at school? What subjects did you like? What didn't you like? You know, what were you good at? What were you bad at? They're not always the same.
I was always good at English, history, geography. I was all right in those days at maths, but I had a problem later. I could do most of them, actually, and I was okay. But when, towards the end, now I was getting, I must have been 10, I was put into what they call the scholarship class first of all, I was in what they call second class, but they took four of the brighter ones out and put us in the scholarship class. But we were evacuees, and we were treated differently to the Bedford boys.
In what way?
Well, they used to have homework. They used to stay on after school, because there's good schools in Bedford, and they used to be trying to get into Bedford Modern, and a Bedford school, of course. And incidentally, my brother's it was interesting, because Owen's school was in Bedford. But it was integral with Bedford Modern, and they shared the school, but they kept their identity. You know. Anyway, and I just went one day and took a scholarship. No kind of, I knew the scholarship was about, but they just said go to that place in town, and I sat down, and it was one of the first where you had not multiple choice, psychological things on it. And I remember sitting there thinking, well, this is silly, it's too easy, you know. And I saw Mother Riley in the afternoon at the pictures, because I had a day off. the school teaching was very good there, I think. We had one teacher, and I've never known this before, and looking back, he must have looked at the class and thought, they're getting a bit dozy. And he'd say, right, come on then. And we'd all troop out into the playground, and we'd march around for 10 minutes, or else you'd get handball and play handball and do things like that, and then he'd bring us in again to brighten us up, you know. But he was a very nice master, and a very, he got a lot out of the children, I think.
And how did you do in your exam?
Well, I passed, because I went to Owens. But it's back in London then.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. Yeah. We'll just do some other questions about that. Now, how did you get on with the local kids?
No problem, not really. Apart from the normal things where kids from a different area, they come along in a gang and they'd throw stones at you, and you'd either run or throw stones back. But by and large, I don't think there was a lot of friction between. They did call us refugees and things like that, if they knew we were evacuees, but I think by and large, I think they were assimilated quite well, really.
Now, were there any air raids in the area?
I've got a good story there. When I was, there were one or two raids.
Now, firstly, did they have a shelter? Or, you were at so many places, we're going to have to treat this fairly generally. Was there sort of air raid precautions in the area?
Yes. In some of the roads, they had the big brick-built shelters.
What were they like? Because there's a few of them left, but not that many to see now.
It was a smell of urine, really. And,
could you describe them? What were they like outside, inside?
Well, these were just in the road, and there were several of them. And they were compartmentalised, I seem to remember. I think maybe just two, but with a hole in between. So if that was hit, I should move.
And how big?
This is a guess. 10 yards.
And above the ground or below the ground?
These were above the ground.
So a flat, thick roof or concrete roof?
Flat, thick roof. And in the corners they had lights so that people wouldn't walk into it. But they're all smashed. And I remember I stuck my finger in one and I got a shock off the the electrodes in there.
And what was it like inside? You say it smelt of urine, but was there any furniture or anywhere to sit or anything?
Just plain. Yeah. Because they're open to anybody.
Would you use these communal shelters or not?
There weren't enough raids, I think. There was the odd raid coming, with not fire bombs. What's the other ones? The other ones. Incendiary bombs. And there was a little bit of that, but most of those fell in the fields, as far as I know.
So, do you remember any raids? You said you had a story.
Yeah, and I reckon I'm unique in Bedford for this, because I was running to school, and I was a little bit late, and I lived in, I think it was Hotcliffe Road then, which is a council estate, down to Bedford Road, and you go over railway bridge, quite a big one, and down the other side, turn left, that name will come to me where my school was. And it was quite a way, it was a good mile and more, you know. And as I'm running to school, I heard this plane come over, because we got used to a lot of planes and bombers and fighters. And I looked up, and there's this German bomber, like that, almost on top of me. And you could see the crosses, the swastika, and I think it was on the fuselage. And I was on the bridge, and I saw it go along with the bomb doors open, so the bombs fall out, and it peeled off to the right, and I saw smoke coming up. And that was, it looked as if they were aiming for the railway station, because I think it hit Midland Road, which was like about a quarter of a mile away. And I just stood there kind of dumbstruck and turned around and scooted off home. I was so scared, you know. That's my real wartime one. I was in a few raids when I came back to London, because we used to come back occasionally. And I was in a few raids.
Now, what do you remember of that? You'd visit your parents.
Yeah. Like in holiday times, we'd come back. Because my dad, we had a business before the war. And because of, because of the war, we used to use wood rubber. It was closed down. But there was some scheme that kept the factory going. I don't quite know what it was. But my dad had a job in, I don't quite know what it was. Anyway, we used to come back when there was it had been quiet and it was holiday time. My brother and I would come home. And occasionally there'd be raids, etc. And we'd hear... We had an Anderson shelter in the garden, and we'd go down there.
Now, what was the Anderson shelter like?
Well, that was galvanised steel, corrugated, bolted like a U into the ground with strong ends and a doorway. And in fact, where my home was, the next block over the other side, so our houses and the ones behind us were there. On the next block were completely wiped out with a landmine. And my mum and dad and my grandmother, no, not my grandmother, my mum and dad were actually in the shelter when it all went up, you know. We'd go in there, but not very often.
What was it like in there? Because people now don't know, you know.
No, my dad made it a little bit comfortable.
How?
You know. Well, I think there was... I don't know what he did. I think there was like benches in there and padded and that. And he always took a stick in with him, because some people had saved their lives by having a stick and poking it through the rubble and getting a bit of an air. And in fact, a friend... Do you want a story of a friend of mine?
Yeah.
A friend of mine, he was actually buried during the war in the shelter. And they're all sitting there. And they had an apple. He said it was absolutely pitch black. You could not see a thing. And they all took a bite of this apple. And he got to him and he dropped it. And they could not find that apple. You know, that's the only thing they had to eat. But they were. They got them out next day. But anyway. So I used to see the guns going off and things like that. And the only time I saw a buzz bomb once, V1, but I was in Sheffield at the time.
Hang on. So what about the raids in Islington? I mean, do you remember anything else about them, or were you just in the shelter when it happened?
No. More often than not, we were not in the shelter. I can't remember being in there more than, you know...
So what were the raids like? What do you remember of them, the raids in Islington or London?
Well, I miss the worst of them.
No, the ones you said you were in some. Though.
Yeah, the ones I were in, I don't remember seeing any bombs or hear any planes. It was just the gunfire that go off, and my dad saying, "Oh, we're keeping because of the shrapnel and things like this." Although I was there for the odd one, in fact, one of the time we were coming back from London because they'd started up again. And there was a bomb on the line behind us, and it actually shook the train. But that was, you know, we used to, a lot of things happened during the war. They used to, I mean, fighters were always zooming over, and where my brother played football, which was the Meltis Sweet Factory, the school played there, and two of them collided over the, just over the field, and one crashed on the railway line.
But you didn't see that?
No. No. But I saw where the other one crashed, because we went and got souvenirs.
Now, so what would you get from a crash there? What were the souvenirs to get?
Well, there'd be cables, and you'd even find shell cases and things like this, you know. She used to see quite a few planes on 30-foot trailers. And if it was, well, we'd take bits, just little bits of aircraft. In fact, we had quite a selection, because particularly my brother, he was older, he cycled miles to a good orchard to scrump, or, you know, to get souvenirs, etc. But we used to see lots of them on 30-foot lorries, Spitfires and Messerschmitts. If a Messerschmitt come along, everyone would cheer in the street, you know.
Now, why were you in Sheffield for the V1 that you saw?
Right, if we go back to the rockets and V1s, I was in London for a time with that, and they were, particularly the rockets towards the end of the war, and they were awful, because you'd just hear, boom, boom, like a double bang.
That, you mean the V2s?
That was the V2s, the rockets, because you didn't get any warning, and you just think, oh, thank goodness it was somewhere else, you know. Anyway, so I was in London for a little bit of that. Probably MO will probably have sent me home, you know, or back to the billet. You asked me another question, and I've forgotten it.
I was just asking about the V weapons. You said about Sheffield.
Oh, Sheffield. My younger brother was born in 1944. And he was born in City Hospital in London, which is where my best man was born, and Dorian upstairs. So a lot of people in the area were born there. And as soon as the baby was born, my brother, they sent mother and baby almost immediately, I think, put them on a train out of London. And I think that was because of the V2s. Anyway, she went to Sheffield, where she was evacuated with some people. Gibson's. No, it wasn't then. That was a London billet. And that was one of my billets. I can't remember.
Smell.
It might come back. And they were Yorkshire people, and they were really, really nice. They were so welcoming. But while in the summer holidays, my brother and I went up to Sheffield, and we stayed with them, and while we were there, there was a V1 went over at night, but that's the only one I ever saw.
Now, so when did you come back to London? Was it before the war finished, or was it only after the war finished?
I think yes. I was in London for VE Day, definitely.
So you returned to London
probably only about a week before, I think.
So around 1945, anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, what do you remember of VE Day?
Well, all the boys, we went out getting wood for the bonfire, and we took every door out of every bombed house, any wood we could. And that was basically it. We must have had 20 or 30 doors lined up, you know, on the orders of the bigger boys, you know. And we had street parties.
What were the street parties like?
Well, we actually sat down in the street with food. I don't know where they got it from for the life of me, but there was jellies and stuff like that. And there was a lot of flags. Somebody had a German flag from somewhere, and they burned it on the fire, you know. And I think back and I think, what a terrible thing to do. And there was darts in the street. It was just a good time, really. You know, everyone was really happy, you know.